So I think you had your first exposure to the joyful Holi Festival. I would like to again say that for us it is sometimes very nice or necessary to venture into the unconventional. All societies have things like carnivals or mask balls. Or in ancient Rome, I mentioned that there is one day, it's called the Saturnalien, where masters become servants and servants become masters. All this changing of roles and venturing into something out of the box has its origin, as far as we Vaishnavas are concerned, in the spirit world, and more specific in the pastime of Holi, where the divine couple Radha and Krishna are engaged in a war of colors. Those who are expert in the science of spiritual emotions or rasas will know that each color which Krishna throws means something. It carries a meaning. We have this in this world as the Farbenlehre, you know, that green is the color for hope, and I don't know, black is, I think, the color for death. but in Braj, there are these very pure feelings of love or affection or humor or so many things, which I myself don't also know, since I have not studied this. But suffice it to say, when this original feeling of loving exchange, showing one's love, showing the true colors of one's love, when it comes into the material world, it is not always the same as in the spiritual world. We find Prabhupada using an analogy. Pure love is like a ray of pure light, but when it hits on a prisma, this is like a glass cube like this, looks like a little pyramid. When the light comes on a prisma, it changes into blue and yellow and red, and becomes fractured. It takes another direction. So love is an often used word in this world. It's often abused also, because there is no such thing of the pure light, the pure love. It is fractured and split up into the passionate love, ignorant and violent love, and sattvic love. Yes. So what we find here, what we find in the spiritual world, are the true colors of love, the original form of them. And that is displayed in the Holi Festival. The way the Holi Festival is celebrated in an ideal way was something like we tried to do. First the colors are presented on the altar so that the divine couple blesses these powders, these piles of powders. Then, during a festivity, the priest comes, takes colors and puts it on the cheeks of either Krishna or Radha, helping the divine couple in their lila. This, by the way, is priesthood in its perfection. You serve really Radha and Krishna. There are other functions like this where a chessboard is put between Radha and Krishna. On one side Radha is, on the other side Krishna is, and then there's one priest who throws the dice for Radha and another priest who throws the dice for Krishna, and according to the results, the different figures on that chessboard, there is a name for this which I just forgot. What? I can't hear you very well, so I cannot say, but there is a name for this particular game.
Joseph.
I heard another name, but I forgot that. There is something. It's the chessboard looks like a cross, and then they move this way. Chaturanj. Let's call it Chaturanj for a while. Yes, the priests help Radha and Krishna in this game of dice. And here in Holi, the priests put the colors there, and then they put the streaks of colors on the divine couple. And after, these colors are blessed by the use of Radha and Krishna. They come out from the altar as prasad. And then the devotees use these colors on each other. They really strictly try to remove any type of aggression from their heart, not that some some brahmachari who has a problem with a grihastha falls on the grihastha from the top of a tree, boom, and drowns in colors. No. It is something quite peaceful and divine and so on. And we were very happy that you could keep this, let us say, sacred dimension, this divine dimension, during the holy pastimes on the meadow. And I must say, some of you look so colorful, it is a pleasure for the eyes. I was today preaching to a few of you, or they had come to ask advice, and there was a very serious subject matter. And the person who asked me this super serious question looked like a harlequin, I looked at him and always said, I tried to keep my composure. After all, this was a very serious subject, but it was not possible to suppress the laughter entirely. This is wanted. We sometimes need to laugh about each other. We need to sometimes come out of the stiff rigorosity of pushing ourselves to the max. And Holi is a welcome relief to this. Good. So today I would like to end my own katha, but I would like to introduce the subject one more time. Whom does God worship? Everyone worships God, but is there anyone whom Krishna worships? Yes. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. One of our guests is from Vrindavan, is a real Brijbasi. So they will they will find it easy to glorify Radharani. Yes. Krishna puts his head at the lotus feet of his greatest worshipper, his greatest devotee, the one who pleases him most, Srimati Radharani. And the holy festival began, remember, with Madhu Mangal, this is the joyful, humorous friend of Krishna, making a secret plan. He once at the beginning of Holi danced so hard that his Brahmin string fell from his impressive bellied body. At that time Krishna laughed, "Ho, ho, ho, you are very energetic dancer." But Madhu Mangal said, "And you are not, because you have become weak in the association of these sakhas, your friends, whereas the gopis have gotten so much strength." And at this, Krishna laughed even harder, so that Madhu Mangal, in a mock disgust, he left Krishna and said, "I'm going over to the gopis, it's more fun there." So when Madhu Mangal went to the side of the gopis thought, "Here is a friend of Krishna, let's capture him, let us bind his sikha on a, what is a branch of a tree, and let us throw some colors on him." And Madhu Mangal then took full shelter of Srimati Radharani. He said, "Radha, I have left Krishna because he is not very civilized. He disrespects Brahmins. But now I see that your own gopis also disrespect Brahmanas." And Radha, thinking of Krishna and thinking of the messenger as the most trusted messenger of her beloved, bound Madhu Mangal free from his bondage. But she also said, "Madhu Mangal, you're telling us you're a Brahmana, but where's your Brahmin string?" And then Madhu Mangal said something very honest. He said, "Actually," well, first part was Madhu Mangal joking, and then he said something honest. First thing he said, "You know, when I was with Krishna, I took off my Brahmin string and threw it before his feet and said, I'm not putting on a Brahmin string until you bow down your head in utter defeat to Srimati Radharani." His plan was to make Krishna worship Radha. This is a plan of those cowherd boys who have knowledge of Krishna's most secret heart, and that is that Krishna is a lover of Radharani only and likes to be united with Radharani and worship Radharani. So the whole Leela is actually all about setting the stage for Krishna to worship Radharani. The last episode of this huge pastime which we have heard was when Krishna was defeated in the game of colors and ran away from the group of the gopis. The gopis had entered his group like a ferocious war formation enters another formation, and then Krishna had to run away. And he said to his friends, "See, when a king is defeated, he must go alone into the forest and perform tapasya. I will go and meditate in the forest about Param Brahma." Do you remember who in Krishna's mind was this ultimate truth, Param Brahman? Srimati Radharani. Yes, you know many things. By the way, in this katha, it's always good to say Srimati Radharani. But please continue to think. Then Vishakha had come and told him, "There is one way in which you can gain the association of Radha again. You have to dress up like a yogi." So Krishna was dressed up by Subal. Sakai, another of his close friends, as a yogi. He had a top knot, he had Rudraksha bead, he was all covered with ash, and there was a huge red bindu, a point on his forehead. And he had come to the gopis who had received him innocently, but then by Radha's intelligence, his disguise was uncovered, and Krishna was again falling in disfavor. The gopi said, "You are good in cheating and lying. That's all you can do. But you can't do this in the supremely intelligent association of the gopis. You may be able to put the whole world into your maya and bewilder the whole wide universe, but your intelligence does not work before Srimati Radharani." They had told him like this. And now Krishna, disguise is uncovered. The gopis were quite angry. They had taken his kailash, they had thrown it on the path, they had taken his deer skin and throw it on the path. Krishna was war wirklich aufgeflogen, super heavy. So I will start from there, and I will talk how ultimately Madhu Mangal's plan to bring Krishna to bow down before Radha's lotus feet comes into fulfillment. First of all, we need to leave Germany to understand this. "There is a glorious forest," writes Jiva Goswami, "named Vrindavan. This forest brings great auspiciousness. This forest, in fact, has the power to deliver all living beings in all the worlds. The mere touch of its purifying breeze washes away all one's trouble." So if you have trouble and you sit in the breeze which blows from Vrindavan, troubles are gone. "The touch of this breeze of Vrindavan opens the bolt on the door in the prison of the three Vagas." So human beings live in the prison of economic development. They are after money. They live in the prison of sense gratification. And they live also in the prison of material piety. They can't go beyond this. But when you go to Vrindavan, you will move beyond even material piety, what to speak of the other three goals. And the breeze of Vrindavan carries away the fragrance of impersonal liberation. Yeah. We have seen many yogis who came, who thought to dissolve their identity in Brahman, but when they came to Vrindavan, they developed an attraction to the loving activities of the Supreme Brahman. "With its great glories, Vrindavan unties the bonds of impersonal liberation. Although in other places the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not easily give the gift of devotional service or bhakti, in the land of Vrindavan, he gives bhakti even to someone who stays only for one night." So it is this land of miracles, this land of supreme wonder, which is the stage for the holy festival and the stage for the last part of it, which we will here just now. So after Krishna's disguise was, I do not know the English word here, was uncovered, for lack of a better word, the gopis felt they should take all the yogi dress, all the false dress down, and they dressed Krishna up like he always is, you know. They dressed him up with the Krishna tilak, they put a yellow dhoti on him, a pitambara. Krishna wanted to put on the pitambara himself, that is the piece of cloth which hangs from the shoulder, but his hands were trembling so much due to the ecstasy of this joyful holy festival that he couldn't even put his yellow shawl on, and therefore Lalita and Vishakha helped him to do this. So as this was going on, Vrinda Devi, the goddess of the fortune of Vrindavan, says, O Radhika, okay? There's a part of the forest where you have made with your own hand a beautiful garden. The flowers and the trees have now blossomed and they bear fruits. Would you like to go into your garden? So Shirada said, yes, it is my great desire to go into this garden. And she started to walk in this direction. But Krishna has become very eager for Radharani's association, and he took a stick and blocked her way and said, can I accompany you, please? Can I go with you? And Srimati Radharani said in a sarcastic way, of course, because how can I see anything without you? You have become supremely effulgent by associating quite closely with the gopis, and therefore you shine very brightly. It is your shine which we need so that the path in this dark forest is lit. So Krishna started to, felt very invited. He walked before Srimati Radharani in the forest, and on the way he looked for an excuse to look at Srimati Radharani's exquisite beauty. So he turned around and removed all the creepers and the sharp stones from the path just to have a glance at Radha's lotus face. Then he used his garment to fan Srimati Radharani, and all the other sakis, understanding that Krishna wanted to worship Radharani, held an umbrella over Radha's head. By the way, this is only done for kings and queens, that they are walking under an umbrella. You will see when the deities are coming out on a procession, usually a priest will come and hold an umbrella, even if there is no rain or no sun to guard them from. Because now the king and the queen come, and a white umbrella ideally is used to announce this. So here comes Srimati Radharani, the queen of everything that is good, the queen of forgiveness, the queen of mercy, the queen of all the Vedic sacrifices, and walks, and the gopis hold an umbrella, and Krishna is there and waves, fans her with his upper garment, and when he has done this, he just considers himself most fortunate in taking the upper garment and just pressing it on his chest. This is how we hear the love of Krishna expressed through gestures. Some sakis have chamaras, some put tambula in Radha's mouth. It's a sign of it's a little mouth refreshener. And many throw petals on her path while they all sing the glories of Srimati Radharani. There's dancing as Radha, the queen of the holy pastimes, moves through the forest of Vrindavan. There's Veena playing, there's singing, and so on. The parrots begin to sing, Jai Sri Radhe! The peacocks come and spread their feathers. And everyone, including these small little bees, are full of joy. And as Radha goes as the undisputed queen through the forest of Vrindavan, she from time to time looks at Krishna and takes Krishna's darshan into her heart where she embraces him. So Radha at that moment is so much overcome with loving emotions for Krishna that she says, to Vishakha, Krishna never leaves my side. He falls on my feet when I raise my eyebrows. He uses his outer garment to fan me and afterwards puts it back on his chest. Even if other of his devotees and even if other gopis vie for his favor, he only thinks of me, and he eagerly rolls on the paths in Vrindavan just so that he can bathe his body in the dust which is marked by my footprints. And when without a reason I look at him with my sidelong glances, he breathes heavenly with fear. So at this moment, where the love of the divine couple increases like an ocean increases when there is the full moon rising over it, Vishakha looks at Lalita. Remember, in the spiritual world, everyone wishes that Radha and Krishna come together. There is no bit of selfish interest where you want to enjoy yourself. It is said by those who know spiritual psychology that for a conditioned soul, it is unfortunately not possible to be absolutely free from selfishness. I saw this in my case. I gave donations to the Ukraine, substantial relationships. When I later looked back why I did it, I must admit to you, I had a little bit, I was very sad that there could be such a war happening in modern times. I felt helpless. I thought, where is humanity going when no peace, no mercy, no kindness is there? I was really disturbed, and I felt if I give at least a donation, I can feel a little better that I'm a good man. Afterwards, when I did this, I could understand why the Vedas say, even in good acts, it's very, very rare to have no selfishness. But in the spiritual world, the love and affection has this one quality. They don't want to enjoy on themselves. So when Vishakha looks at Lalita, Lalita takes Krishna away from Radha. He just She just pulls him, and Krishna is by now so emotionally pleased or satisfied or filled that he just has become a puppet in the hand. Lalita enters with Krishna in a garden disappears. So Srimati Radharani cannot see Krishna any longer. Do you remember Radha's feelings about the Creator? She thinks he is an incompetent creator, because instead of putting eyes where the pores of the body are, the Creator has put eyes here, only two eyes, which when they blink cannot see Krishna for a moment. Whereas if he would have been intelligent and placed them on the body, when two eyes blink, there are hundreds of more eyes who can see very nicely. So she said to Brahma, "You are not worth the name Creator because you are incompetent." She is so much interested in seeing Krishna only. So Krishna is gone. She suffers greatly when all of a sudden the forest around her turns blue. A blue color. She expects Krishna has come. But when she looks around, there's Radharani and a little girl next to her whom she has never ever seen, it seems. So she says to Radha, "What is this new girl you brought? Is she a girl? Or is she your friend?" And Srimati Radharani says, "There's only one way for you to find out. You have to take him, you have to take her into the Kunj and see yourself." You know, at the moment when the shirt is taken off, you know, is this a girl or is it a man? Srimati Radharani disappears with Krishna at the end of the holy festival in a kunj. Beyond this, no one should describe Radha and Krishna Leela. The poet who has composed this beautiful part, who has seen this pastime, ends his composition by saying, "Beyond this description, where Radha goes into the Nikunja with her beloved, nothing should be sung aloud. But only those who are qualified can meditate about what happens then." And he concludes, "I pay my obeisances to Nitai Gauranga. I pay my obeisances to all the Goswamis. I pay my obeisances to Swarup Damodar. I meditate on Sri Sri Radha Madhava. This is the only way to ever be satisfied fully in the heart. Keeping Rupa and Swarup in the heart, I have written about the holy pastimes of Radha and Krishna." I would like to conclude the pastime. Krishna often wants the glories of Radha to be known, and once he arranged that there would be an aerial voice who would say, "Prepare the Abhishek, the royal bathing ceremony of Radha. This voice was like a loudspeaker, speaking all over. It was heard all over Vrindavan. All the Brijbasis heard it. It was an Akashvani, a voice from the sky, thundering an order. Radha should be crowned the queen of Vrindavan and given her royal bath. So it was done. All the devatas came, the Ganga came, great personalities came, all to give the royal bath of Srimati Radharani. And afterwards, Krishna, Radha was put on a throne and was surrounded by her female friends. And Krishna came into this assembly smiling, and he said, this is a queen of Vrindavan. I would like to enter her services. But the Sakis became very bold and they said, what can you do, Siam? You are only the son of Nanda Maharaj, a prince. You are spoiled by Nanda Maharaj. We can only accept hardworking ministers. So Krishna smiled also, and he said, well, there's one thing I can do. I can become the herald. Do you know what is a herald? It's a person who goes with a drum from village to village and goes, everyone come, and then everyone comes. Hear the news. And then he says, I can go like this to every single village of Vrindavan and proclaim the glories of Radharani. So the gopis were very arrogant. This is not something which we need. The glories of Radha are naturally proclaimed like a good government is immediately known. So then Krishna all of a sudden goes like... Now comes Krishna's humorous Leela. Where is my flute? Oh, said Lalita, how can you be a good herald if you lose your flute so easily? No, said Krishna, I had the flute, and when I came here amongst all of you, it must have disappeared then. And then Krishna starts to look for his flute and finds it in Lalita's braid, the hair. He says, how can you be a prime minister of Radharani if you steal flutes? So Lalita looks at him. I have not stolen a flute. You must have put it there. And no. Your government is invalid, says Krishna. Radharani, you have a thief as a prime minister. And all the devotees, all the gopis, they laugh and laugh. And Krishna and Radharani knows this is one of Krishna's very clever activities. And she then invites Krishna to sit with her on the throne. So what I wanted to just alert you and say to you, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, we all worship Krishna as the source of all sources, Ishvara Parama Krishna. And this is the understanding of the tattva, that is the beingness, the actual beingness of Krishna. He's the source of all sources. There is no other source beyond him. And now this Krishna engages in loving pastimes with his intimate devotees. And these loving pastimes, they are moving like a river, or sometimes it is said like a snake, left and right with many bends and surprising turns and so on. And it is said that in these pastimes, Krishna, who is the absolute truth, shows another aspect that is rasa. Rasa means a mellow, a taste, a great, let us say, something lovable. How can you love this, a source of all sources? But you can love someone who is playful, who is full of humor, and who is himself full of love towards his devotees. So if you want to understand Krishna, you need to understand these two aspects, tattva and rasa. And lila katas, such as the one which we try to present for your pleasure, hearing pleasure, is must be based on both of these aspects. Ultimately, the path of Krishna consciousness is the path where we try to fall in love with Krishna. But how can you try to fall in love? Have you ever tried to love a cake, for instance? Or no, you either love it or you don't love it. So the path of Gaudiya Vaishnavism works on attractiveness, or Akashini Shakti, where Krishna and his Krishna-ness, his pastimes, are supposed to be listened to in the circle of like-minded devotees, and then they will display some attractive feature which are very are overwhelming our material attractions. We try today with our little holy festival to give you a little taste of the joy. And I think in some parts it really worked, because I met so many devotees who looked so colorful. Some of the devotees immediately washed the colors away from their face to look their sober selves again. It may be a little threatening for them. Others carried the colors with pride and so on. The Krishna consciousness is ultimately meant to be a process which is joyfully performed, no? Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. Fine, so I want to end here the katha. I want to ask our Gurukuli, now a mature person, our Surabhi Kunj, to sing, please. Then we will, I will say something in the end. Shrimati Radha Rani ki
jai.
Krishna, Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravraja Gacharya Ashtata Satasi Simat His Divine Grace Sila Abhe Charanaravinda Sila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to see Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.